bless us. Now, we want to turn to 1st Epistle of John and chapter 2. And my text can be found at the end of verse 6. 1st Epistle 2 and verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Really subject, walking like Jesus. And John is writing to these believers and he's instructing them how they were to walk in this world. How they were to walk in their life. Well, he says, well, you are to walk as he walked. And we want to speak about that here this morning. Let's look to the Lord for his help. Father, I pray thou wilt bless us. I pray thou wilt be with us around thy word. And let thy word touch our hearts, Lord. And let thy word change us. And let us walk in this world like the Lord Jesus. Bless us abundantly, we ask for thy help in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever go onto the internet and look about holiday tours that are held in the land of Israel, you will find that many people will advertise them in different ways. They will be explaining where they're going to go and what they're going to see. Sometimes you'll read the following words on their site: to walk where Jesus walked. And they will give them the information under this. They will say, well, we're going to walk in Bethlehem. We're going to walk around the shores of Galilee. We're going to go to Jerusalem. We're going to go to Calvary. And sometimes we hear a little song being sung and it says, I walk today where Jesus walked. In days of long ago, I wandered down each path he knew with reverent step and slow. Walking where Jesus walked. Some of us here in the congregation, we've had the great privilege of being in the Holy Land, and perhaps we can say we have walked where Jesus walked. But the Apostle John is not speaking here about walking where Jesus walked. He is speaking here to believers and he's instructing them to walk as Jesus walked. That's a different kettle of fish altogether. He's telling believers to walk like Jesus. I think of Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2 and the verse 21. He says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And Peter is bringing the same truth about following his steps. John is saying here as believers, well, we are to walk like the Lord Jesus Christ. As he walked, then he says, I want you to think of this. That's how you have to walk. And this is how I am to walk in this world. We're not left to our own devices. We're not left to our own notions. As I live in this world, child of God, as you live in this world, we are to walk like Jesus walked. It's a lesson here that John is writing to these people. To walk like Christ in this world. So I think it stands to sense to all of us here today is to find out how he walked. Because I want to follow his steps. We want to follow his ways. We want in this world, child of God, to be like Jesus. So I want then this morning to think about how the Lord Jesus lived and how he walked in this world. And then every one of us can see, who's saved, who's washed in the blood of Christ this morning, can say, well, this is how I have to walk. And I want to say first of all then about this walk of Christ. It was a walk of holiness. You read the Bible. Read the Gospels about the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow his steps. Watch how he talked in this world. Watch how he walked in this world. And we find here that his steps, his walk, it was a walk of holiness. Oh, so different when you read Isaiah 59, verse 7. It talks about evil men, their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed innocent blood. You think what happened on our streets yesterday? The streets of this city. Evil men walked, prayed in their sin. which is an abomination to the Lord. Notice the sad thing about it is this. I looked at the news last night. There will be a lot of people sucked in with such a walk. There'll be young girls, young boys who'll say, that's the way I want to walk. We need to pray for our young people. The Lord Jesus Christ, his walk, his steps, it was a walk of holiness. We find, of course, when we come to Christ, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 22, who did no sin. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 says, for the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior, who knew no sin. Well, John says in 1 John 3 and verse 5, it says, and in him is no sin. He is sinless. He is spotless. And when the Lord Jesus walked in this world, it was a walk of holiness. You never find him sinning in any shape or form. He walked on a pathway of holiness. And you can follow his life. You will find, of course, that he was tempted. You find the old devil coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, telling him to turn the stones into bread. Telling the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you just fall down and worship me. Tempting the Lord Jesus Christ to cast himself down from the pinnacle of a temple. Cast yourself down. The very angels will catch you. But he walked the pathway of holiness. He didn't give in to temptation. He was tempted, of course. Even when his enemies looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus looked at them, and he said to them in John 8, verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? Which one? Have a look at my life. Look at my words. Look at my steps. Do you see sin in my life? Well, you know the story yourself. Not one of them could point the finger at the Lord Jesus and say, well, yes. Yes, there's sin. You see, he walked in holiness. He never sinned. He was tempted. He kept the law of God fully. Remember he says in Matthew 5 verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And so the Lord Jesus came to fulfill the law of God. Then his steps were certainly, there were certainly steps of holiness. His walk was a walk of holiness. You know, the Apostle Paul said of the Lord Jesus, very familiar words, in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, for such an high priest became us who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, his walk, it was a walk of holiness. He kept away from sin. He resisted sin. He lived a life of righteousness. And I want to say to you, child of God, today, this is how you and I are to walk. This is how I am instructed by God's word to walk in this world. It's for every child of God in this meeting. Every child of God in this world. How are you to walk in your workplace? How are you to walk at home? How are you to work in school or university? How are you to walk in the streets of Belfast or wherever you live? You to walk like Jesus walked. We are to walk in this walk of holiness. We think of the words in 1 Peter 1, verse 15, but as he is, which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's God's standard for every one of his people. It has always been the case, because over there in Exodus 19 verse 6, when God has given the law to Moses, he says that there shall be a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. It's always been God's standard. God has always wanted his people to walk like Jesus walked. What is that walk? It's a walk of holiness. To keep away from sin. Keep away. And I say to young people today, you'll be tempted. You'll be tempted to go places that are wrong, that are sinful. You'll be tempted to do things that are wrong and sinful. And I say to you, young Christian today, stand up for Jesus Christ. Keep away from sin. Walk like the Lord Jesus. Forget about the world. Forget about the standards of the world. But walk like Jesus walked. And when people see that we're different. But you know, we've been saved, haven't we? You saw me walking up Market Hill Street a number of years ago, all over the whole street full of drink. But we're different. We're saved. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Then let us walk holy. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lusts. To run from sin. Sometimes we try to go as near sin as we possibly can. And that's dangerous. Just flee from every youthful lust, from every appearance of sin. Like Joseph, he fled when he was tempted. And so I'm to walk to Christ. I have to walk holy. I meet people in my door-to-door visitation and doing meetings and so on. And they say there's nothing wrong with this and nothing wrong with drinking, nothing wrong with smoking. And I look at them and I say, well, look, if I came to your door today and the fag hanging out of the mouth and a glass of beer and I'm drinking and I stand before you and I say, well, how you doing? I'm doing a wee mission down there in the hall. Would you come? Would you come and hear me? Well, what do you think? You know what they'll say about me? That boy's a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite. They'll be right. With a walk like Jesus walked, with a walk in holiness. That's God's standard. If you don't play about with sin, and if you have and you've fallen, then confess your sins. For he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if I'm going to live in this world, then I have to walk this pathway of holiness and walk like Jesus walked. I may stand out like a sore thumb. I may be despised. I may be laughed at, and you may be laughed at and mocked. So what about it? Going to walk like Jesus walked in this world. The walk of holiness. He also walked in holiness. He walked humbly in this world. You will find when you look at the life of Jesus Christ, there was great humility and meekness in the life of Christ. So much so, you know, when he came into this world in John 1 verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. Remember he said himself in Matthew chapter 11 verse 29, well, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Look at the life of Jesus Christ. He walked humbly in this world. Now, you can see his humiliation in different ways. I think, of course, in his deity taking on humanity. Now, when the Apostle Paul, he wanted to instruct the church of Philippi about being humble. And you know, if we're not taught how to be humble, I want to say to you, God will soon teach us. God will soon teach us to be humble people. And the Apostle Paul, he was wanting to teach this people how to be humble in this life. And so then he brings in this example. He brings in an example of Jesus Christ. You find that in Philippians 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He takes the standard and the example of Jesus Christ. How he was what? I'm going to find in a minute. Humble. For he went on to say, who being in the form of God, and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And on down it says, he humbled himself. And so we find here the Lord Jesus Christ, that he walked humbly in this world. How did he do this? He who is God became man. He who is Lord of lords and King of kings. He who spoke the world and the whole world was brought into creation. Here we find the Lord Jesus doing something. He humbled himself. He who is God became man. It tells us here that he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant and he was made in the likeness of men. This was a great step, and this was a great step down the Lord Jesus took. You see, he walked humbly in this world. He who was God, who was King, became man. And you see this humiliation then in his deity becoming man. You can see it also in his duties. In Matthew 12, verse 18, it says, "Behold, my servant." And the word "hold" means, well, have a look here. Take a look at Jesus Christ, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul, well, is well pleased. And we're going to say in verse 19, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. What does this mean? Well, it means this. He did not go about beating a big gold drum. But quietly and meekly and humbly, the Lord Jesus went about doing all his duties. You see, he walked the pathway of humiliation. He walked humbly in this world. Think about his death. Philippians 2 verse 8, "And being fashioned in death as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." I think here of the Lord Jesus Christ from glory. He's the King of glory. Now we see him at Calvary. Now we see him on the cross. He's covered in blood. He's dying. He's pouring out his death, his blood unto death. You see, he walked humbly. He who is the King of glory is now dying. Now, I tell you this morning, we're to walk as he walked. We're to be a humble people. You know, as I look at my heart, and child of God, as you look in your heart, we would say there's nothing in our hearts that we're to be proud about. The Bible says we're dust. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, "For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." That's just how God sums us up. We're walking dust. Do you ever feel like the Apostle Paul when he said in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, "O wretched man that I am"? We'll honest ourselves. There's nothing to be proud about. We have sinned, we have failed the Lord. Of course, he has forgiven us. He has washed us in the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, that shouldn't make us proud. Make us humble that he loved me, a sinner like me, and saved me and gave me eternal life. We are to walk humbly in this world. What about our duties? You know, Paul said, that great mighty apostle, he said the first Corinthians 15, verse 10, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." In Acts 20, verse 19, he says, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind." Peter said the same thing, "Be clothed." In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, "Be clothed with humility." We're to walk humbly in this world. Whatever God has given me to do, I'm certainly ought to be humble about this. If you do a work in this church, an elder or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a preacher, whatever the case may be, well, let me say this. Let's do our ministry humbly. Let's do it humbly. We are servants of the Lord. That's all. I know there's some people, and I have met them in my ministry, I can say to you, and they have beat their own drum greatly. I remember one particular person, I'm not going to give his name to you, but he used to blow that much he felt about 1 inch of the ground. All what he was doing. Nobody else was doing anything, of course. He was doing all the work. Do you know, we're still in the work today doing these things. You see, dear friends, we've got to be humble. Walk humbly in this world. A wonderful verse in Micah 6, verse 8. "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." This is how we are to walk. This is how we are to live in this world. We are to walk humbly with God. We are to be certainly a happy people. We are to be a holy people, yes, but a humble people. Everybody who's saved today in this church, including me in this pulpit, I am what I am, what? By the grace of God. But only for the grace of God, I wouldn't be standing looking at you this morning. Or you wouldn't be looking at me. But for the amazing grace of God. We're to walk humbly. It was said of John Newton, we all know about John Newton, who wrote that great hymn, Amazing Grace. When he was lying upon his deathbed, a young clergyman came to see him, and he expressed great regret at the prospect of losing this great labor for the Lord. John Newton looked at him and says, "I'm going on before you, but you'll soon come after me. And when you arrive, our friendship will no doubt cause you to inquire for me. But I'll tell you where you already will find me." And the young clergyman listened to this man. He says, "I'll be sitting at the feet of the faith whom Jesus saved in his dying moments on the cross." Now, this was a distinguished man, John Newton. But Newton felt when he would be in heaven, he'd be sitting at the feet of the dying faith. He would be gathered with the sinners, you see, among the chiefest sinners. You see, he walked as Jesus walked. He realized what God had done in his heart, what the Lord had done in his life. And he walked humbly. That's how Christ walked. So, friends, walk humbly. Walk holy in this world. The Lord Jesus also, can I say to you, he walked in harmony. Now, he walked in harmony with his Father's will. When you come to the Bible, you'll find the Lord Jesus speaking about doing the will of his Father. Now, I'll give you one reference. In John 5, verse 30, the Lord Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. I want you to think of the Lord Jesus' life, about his will. What was the will of the Lord Jesus? He says he came to do the will of the one who had sent him, not his own will. He says in John 8, verse 29, "For I do always those things that please him." You see, he walked in harmony with the will of God. And I want to say to you, child of God, this morning, are you walking in harmony with the will of God? We sang that great hymn, "He leadeth me, he leadeth me." Now, he maybe has led you away you didn't expect. I've been led those pathways myself. But I know he led me. Can you honestly say today that you're in the will of God? That he's led you. That you're living in harmony with the Father's will. We represent our bodies, of course, a living sacrifice, the Bible tells us. Do the acceptable will of God. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us these things. Are you walking in harmony with God? Are you doing his will? And maybe if somebody says, "I know what God wants me to do, but I ain't doing it. I'm not going to do this." I hope that is not your heart this morning, child of God. Whatever God has laid before you, "Lord, it may be difficult, it may be hard, it may be the way that I don't want to go, but let me walk as Jesus walked." Let me walk in harmony with thee to do the will of God. That's what we want, isn't it? To do his will. He walked in harmony with his Father's will. He walked in harmony, can I say, with his people. You look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he displayed? Towards God's people. He displayed nothing but love and kindness. He was approachable. He was loving. He was kind. He was not bad-tempered. He did not argue. He did not fight. Like me fighting with this microphone. That's not right. I need a watch here. Do you know something? He was in harmony. He was in harmony. Noah says of Nabal, the husband of Abigail. Now, I want you to listen to what I've said about this man. In 1 Samuel 25, verse 17, "For he is such a son of Benal that a man cannot speak to him." Boy, he was an old twister, wasn't he? You couldn't even speak to him. Well, I wouldn't want that testimony. And I'm sure, child of God, you wouldn't want that testimony, that you're a twister, that you're crooked, and falling out with people, arguing and fighting. There we have them, of course, all around the place, no doubt. I hope there's none here this morning, you're arguing and fighting, making out through the door. Hope not the case. But listen, you'd have walked like Jesus walked. you'll not be arguing and fighting. And you'll not be a twister. And you'll be approachable. And you'll be loving. And you'll be kind to people. And people will want to come to see you and talk to you. Paul says in Ephesians 5 and verse 2 to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. And this epistle, John says in chapter 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus in chapter 4 and verse 31 and verse 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. And the heart of forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Tell me this morning, is there some bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking in your heart that you need to put away? I've seen it. I've been in the Free Church a number of years. Brother Tom reminded you that this morning. I've been around a few corners. I have seen people walking past each other and wouldn't speak. I don't say I get on with everybody. I do the best I can, but I speak to everybody. I may not like what some people have done or said there, but I would speak, say hello to them, whatever. And you know the case. But let's walk that Jesus walked. Let's walk. We're different. The ungodly fight and twist and fall out with each other. But we have to walk in harmony. Harmony with God, harmony with His will, harmony with His word, harmony with His people. The walk that Jesus walked. This is what John is writing upon the hearts of these people, how they were to live, how they were to walk. The Lord Jesus also, can I say, walked in harmony. He walked honestly as well. Follow his steps. I say it to you. Every step he took was a step of truth. Every word he spoke, it was a word of truth. Remember, he's a God that cannot lie. He walked according to the truth. He walked according to God's word, you see. He walked honestly. When you read the Bible, of course, the enemies in Matthew chapter 9, verse 3, they said, this man blasphemeth. That's what they said. They accused him, but listen, they couldn't prove it. They couldn't prove what they were saying. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 22 about the Lord Jesus who did no sin. And notice these words, neither was guile found in his mouth. No deceit. There was no lies. He walked honestly, you see. Everything about Christ was truth. And no one encourages me today, like around the churches, I see people I know for many years preaching the Free Church, they're still walking in the truth. Still walking on the truth. Not wonderful. Come to this congregation today after a period of a long time and to see people still walking in the truth. Still standing for the truth. Still loving the truth. I hope, I'm sure, still telling the truth. We are to walk honesty in this world. The ungodly tell lies, and they have no hesitation sometimes of telling lies. But you and I to be different. We're to be honest. We are to tell the truth at all times. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 12, here's what he says, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. Now them that are without are the ungodly. I had to do some work for a while. I had to sign the dockets for a man who drove a lorry. And I looked at him and I says, I hope your dockets is right. The hours you're putting on them. And he looked at me and said, would you not put down all the hours? You've worked all the hours and extra hours. I says, no, I would not. He couldn't understand it. Why I would not put more hours on my timesheet. But you see, we have to walk honestly. In this life, we have to walk like Jesus walked. Be an honest person. Tell the truth. Love the truth. Walk in the truth. We have to walk like Jesus walked. But time is gone, but I want to say one thing. He walked heavenly as well. All his steps, listen, was towards heaven. His dwelling was in heaven. John 18, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. His destination was heaven, because he says in John 14, verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. His desire was towards heaven, because in John 17, he prayed, O Father, glorify thy me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You see, everything about the heart, everything about the steps, everything about the life of the Lord Jesus was this. He was walking to heaven. It was a heavenly walk. Hey, listen, he was walking through this world. He was surrounded with temptation. He was surrounded with evil. He was surrounded with sinners. But his walk, he was walking towards heaven. His prayers were towards heaven. His thoughts were towards heaven. His desires were towards heaven. Listen, his steps were towards heaven. In Hebrews 11, verse 10, said of Abraham, as he walked through this world, I want you to listen to the words. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Not wonderful. As he was walking, he was looking towards heaven. Oh, child of God, Colossians chapter 3, and just quote from ahead, set your affections on things above and not on the earth. That'll be a heavenly walk. Of course, we have to live in this world. We are to walk in this world. But let's walk like Jesus walked. Let us be a heavenly walk. We're walking towards heaven. And every year goes past, we're getting closer. Isn't that wonderful? Every one of us, child of God, we're walking like Jesus. We're following Jesus ever, day by day. We were singing that. He's leading me. We were singing that as well. He's leading me. He's leading us home to heaven. And we're getting closer every day to the heavenly city. Let's walk as Jesus walked. We're only in this world a short period of time, and then we're gone. Lay up your treasures in heaven, the Bible tells us. Set your heart affections in heaven. That's just where we're going. And let's live like Christ. Let's live for Christ. Let's walk like Christ in this world. And walk like Jesus walked. And people will see that we're different. Did they not see Peter and John? And did they not say and took knowledge of these men? Of course, they said that they were ignorant, but they took knowledge of them. They have been with Jesus. They have been with Jesus Christ. So let us do the same. And walk like Jesus walked. If you're not saved, we want you to be saved. We want you to step out on the promise today of everlasting life, to turn from your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, who is the Savior of the world. And I trust the Lord has blessed his word this morning to all.